Now, brothers and sisters, John says to us tonight that there are calls, unique calls in all of our life. Soldier, tax collector, person with some means. And he is suggesting that the way to holiness, the way to reconciliation, is to bloom where you're planted. Now, that's very unusual for John, because John is a ferocious lion. He speaks with fire and with indignation and with the power that suggests that we are sinful people burdened by our darkness and we must come to the light. And as a matter of fact, his baptism was a baptism of cleansing, a baptism of that kind of reconciliation with God from our sin, from our wayward ways. But even John says, don't change who you are. Become who you are. But do it with integrity. Do it with a greater joy. Do it with a greater sense of honesty and generosity. So whatever you've been called to do, this last week of Advent, John suggests to us not to change, not to be different, not to try to become someone else. Be who we are. Take the gift and grace and blessing that we've been given and make this week, this day, just a little better. A little more generous, a little more caring, a little more integrity, honesty. Pretty simple message. And then he says, oh, mind you, John is out, way out in the Jordan River. Even it's below Jericho, on the way to that great land once promised by Moses. And he suggests that thousands of people are coming to hear him. I mean, John is on the rise. He's the new guy in town. He's got a message that's never been spoken before. He probably left the Essene community, having been purified by that community, having then gone to the Jordan, and then with great courage spoken those words. And people began to listen. Thousands were coming. And in the midst of that one day, someone said, John, are you the Messiah? Now, I don't know about you, but if I had thousands of people around me, you know, and I was down there at that Jordan River, and I was doing some great work, people were being cleansed, and someone said, are you the Messiah? I might say, well, you know, let's think about that. Maybe I am the Messiah. John didn't do that. John says, no, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not even worthy to bend down and to untie this person's sandal. Kipling has a beautiful thought about that. That's John's second thought. This is what he says. He says in a poem, If, that if you can walk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings and not lose your common touch, then you are truly a righteous person. He goes on to say that so many people, especially in our culture today, can easily lose their sense of balance. Once they get even the tiniest bit of recognition, power, place, position, title, we can lose our balance. We fall victim to drugs and alcohol and other delusions. We become intoxicated by our own self-importance. John says, no, no, I know I've got lots of folks riding on this one, but I'm not the Messiah. My brothers and sisters, that's the second very simple lesson of John tonight. Don't be deceived. First of all, don't listen to what people say about you. Because I'm telling you, it'll take you down a path that'll mess that head of yours right up. There was a gospel this week where our Lord comes down into this room and it's jammed with people. And friends open the top of a roof of this house because they can't get in, and they've got a friend on a mat who's paralyzed. And they drop the mat right in front of Jesus and beg our Lord to heal him. Jesus forgives his sins, and then in order to prove that he has the power to forgive sins, he says to this guy, get up. Get up from your mat. Take your mat with you. Walk and go home. Why do you think he said take his mat? Why not leave the mat? Doesn't need the mat, does he? He's not paralyzed anymore. Yes, he does need the mat. We all need our mat. We all need to remember where we have come from. We all need to remember those moments in our life when we were desperate and in need of forgiveness, needed a second chance, needed somehow to be reconciled. What happens to us is we forget. We can become mighty and powerful and all-knowing. And because we have some expertise in one field, all of a sudden we know everything about everything. It happens. My brothers and sisters, I've got a mat. I keep it in my closet. And at 4:45 every morning, I open up that door and I look at the mat. Because both of us, you and I, need to remember those moments in our life when we were so vulnerable, so weak, so much in need of God's mercy and forgiveness. So no matter how much we succeed, no matter how big the crowd, no matter what the crowd says to us, integrity comes when we remember and we know who we are and whose we are. My brothers and sisters, at this moment in Newtown, Connecticut, hundreds of people are gathered in a high school auditorium with the President of the United States. And every kind of life of faith and prayer is being said. I had to leave, so I don't know what the governor and the president's going to say, but they're there. And I got to tell you, folks, I've lived a long, long life, but I've never seen anything like this. Never. On Friday morning, I was in this church at 8 o'clock, and right in that corner, right there, our little first grade kids from our elementary school were in this church with me, celebrating Mass for Advent. It was their day. And I looked at those kids, and they're so sweet and so innocent and so full of life. They didn't listen to one thing I said. They were just firing away. But it's okay. They were here. Yes, they were. They were excited. They come out of Mass, and they say, "Good morning, Monsignor." I can hardly pronounce the name. And a few hours later, I saw the list of 20 children, 6 and 7 years of age, wiped away by the insanity, by the horrendous act. And my brothers and sisters, it's beyond words. don't know what this nation is going to do about it. I don't know what we are going to do about it. But I know for certain that an assault weapon described in the newspaper today, a weapon that's used in Afghanistan in a war, could ever be allowed. We cannot do that. We cannot. It's a force. This assault weapon, the selling of these weapons are an assault on us as a people and as a nation. My brothers and sisters, those children, those men and women who surround them tonight need our prayer. Yes, they need our prayer. I was so proud of that little pastor from St. Rose of Lima. He spoke to the people in that congregation and he spoke to CNN and Fox and all the different outlets. And one of the couples came and said, when they asked him, what are you going to do today? And they said, we're going to be at our parish, St. Rose of Lima, all day. That said to me, whatever they're doing in that parish is good and is important, as are we. And so, my brothers and sisters, I think tonight we do need to be in harmony and in prayer and support with all of those incredibly beautiful, wonderful families who need our love, who need our support, who need the power of that tonight here at St. Monica. But we also need to do something about it. We need to change. We need in some way to take away the harshness and the violence and the horrendous acts. We need to do that first in our own lives. We need to be able to find ways that we can recognize mental illness ever before it gets to that place in life. We need to do that. And we need to pray tonight, each one of us, with our brother Francis, who gives us, with great integrity, probably one of the great prayers. Lord, make all of us channels of your peace.
Make me a channel of your peace. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there's injury, grant mercy, O Lord. Where there's doubt, true faith in you. Make me.
Come on, church.
Make me. Make
to be understood as to understand.